This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show.
Hey everybody, here we are. It is Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. One of my favorite days of the week. And you are joining me, Christina Previtt. I am one half of NetSquire. You are joining me for our weekly show, Divorce Happy Half Hour, where we give you 30 minutes, sometimes less, of tidbits about divorce and related topics for our crew. And unfortunately, John had a legal emergency for one of our clients. He could not join us today, but next time. So what I want to talk to you all about today is something that comes up a lot, and it is why you should not file a complaint immediately just to get your divorce started. And I wanted to talk about this because I get so many phone calls from people for consultations where they're really upset. You know, they've been thinking about divorce for a while. Maybe something recently just happened now that really pissed them off and they're just done. They just want to get a divorce. And they think the next thing to do is to file a complaint. And I get it. If you don't work in this industry, if you haven't been through a divorce, you don't have some reason to understand how that process really works, you might think that that's how you get it rolling, right? I get it. It makes sense. But I'm going to explain to you why that's actually a really bad idea, except for very limited circumstances. So when you file a complaint for divorce, what you're really doing is you're just initiating a court proceeding. That's all you're doing. So it's not like you're going to go down to the courthouse, file some papers, and then all of a sudden one day the judge is going to say, come on down, you're the next contestant. And you're just going to go in front of the judge, tell your stories, and you're going to get divorced that day. If it was that easy, I think a lot of lawyers probably be out of business and things, quite honestly, probably move a lot faster. But there are little things like, I don't know, due process that sort of prevent that from happening. And I don't want to get like way down into the weeds with, you know, legal stuff, legal mumbo jumbo, because I know you don't want to hear that. But suffice it to say, filing a complaint right away, it's really not going to do anything for you. It's, you know, if you fed up with your spouse and you just want to get done, filing the complaint, it's not really going to do anything. It might make you feel better. You might feel like something happens because you have this complaint now pending, but there's so many things that you have to actually do even after you file the complaints to actually get divorced, that it's not really the best alternative. And I'll explain to you what I think is a better alternative, that if you really want to make some progress towards getting your divorce final, here's some other options that you could do. So if you're thinking about divorce, you know, certainly educate yourself. Educate yourself about how the law would apply to your case on issues like alimony, child support, custody, if you have children, how to divide property, you know, what you're actually entitled to and what your rights are, but also what your potential obligations may be and what your spouse's obligations may be, so that you have, you know, some understanding of what you're going to get. And you can plan your life a little better. Don't listen to your girlfriends or your friends or your bros or your hairdresser or your tax guy or the guy down the street or whoever all these people are, perhaps well-intentioned, giving you advice because they went through a divorce or they saw something on TV or they listened to Dave Ramsey or they listened to whatever because they listened to Divorce Happy Hour podcast, okay? We give a lot of good information, but you're not a lawyer because you listen to the Divorce Happy Hour podcast, okay? So talk to a professional, someone who practices divorce and family law. I would suggest exclusively, but if they're not doing it exclusively, at least it's a primary part of their practice. It's something that they do all the time. They've been doing it a long time, you know, 10 years or more, so that they're good at it. They know how the courthouse works. They know, you know, how family judges decide things. They know what the law is. They've seen some mistakes. You know, we always learn better from our mistakes, but you know, they've been around long enough doing this where they know where the potholes are, right? Like they know where the pitfalls are and they're not going to make mistakes. So you want someone to advise you of those things so that you are educated. But from there, I also don't even think you necessarily need to get attorneys involved that quickly. I do think you should educate yourself, and that's partly going to a lawyer to kind of school you a little bit. Don't be afraid to pay for a consultation, okay, people? Don't be cheap. You get what you pay for. If you need a little bit of legal advice, find someone. If they're free, great. But, you know, free consultations, you're not going to get much, okay? Just pay for it. I mean, it's probably a few hundred dollars for an hour. It's money well spent because, again, you need to educate yourself. Knowledge is power. So once you know those things and you have a sense of what you're entitled to, so that you know that if you go off and ask your spouse for something, you make some kind of settlement offer to them, that you know it's not something crazy. It's not like so off the wall that they can't even say yes because you've asked them for so much that you would never get in court. Why do that? It's really just a waste of time. But at the same time, you don't want to ask for too little. I see that a lot. I see people that are, they're so desperate to get out of the marriage that they're just willing to give everything away. And I get it. I understand that people, it's an excruciating process. You want to be done, but the settlement you have to live with, and you have to live with it pretty much forever. Now, for some people, it may have more lasting effects than others, especially if you have children, but you want to make sure you do it right. Don't just try to rush through it just because you want to be done. Make sure it's done right. Make sure that you do it thoughtfully and deliberately so that whatever you ultimately agree to, that it's something you really can live with and you're not going to have regrets later. Because once everything is signed, there's really very little that, if anything, that you can do to change your agreement. Okay? So do it right the first time. Now, what do you do when you've talked to the lawyer? You do have a good sense of what you're entitled to. What do you do then? You know, when is it time to file a complaint? So talk to your spouse. If you guys can work something out between the two of you, then that's great. You're going to save yourself so much money in legal fees. And, you know, if you can sit down and I'm not saying be buddies and be besties, but if you can have conversations with each other, even if sometimes those get emotional and heated, if you can have conversations with each other, trust me, you are doing better than a lot of people. And especially if you have children together, you are going to have to talk to each other for a long time. So learn how to do that. Learn how to do that with each other. Might be a little tough in the beginning, but I promise you, you will find a new normal. It's just a transition. So sit down, see what you can do on your own in terms of settlement. If you're finding that that's not working or it's just not a possibility for you, there's mediation. So let me explain what mediation is if you haven't heard of it. Mediation is when you engage usually an attorney, but it doesn't have to be an attorney, but usually it's an attorney. So let's say you get a mediator who's an attorney, whoever this person is, they are neutral. So they're not there to tell you what to do. They're not there to give one of you legal advice. They're not there to give both of you legal advice. Unfortunately, we can't do that because attorney ethics rules do not allow that. You can only represent one side. So you can only give one side legal advice. So when you go to mediation, I just want you to keep that in mind, that person's role is really just to give you guidance, help facilitate an agreement, help facilitate a discussion, and try to bridge the gap, really help you communicate with each other. That's really what their purpose is. But they are someone who's knowledgeable and educated about the topics that you need to talk about, right? It's not your hairdresser sitting there trying to help you. It's someone who actually has knowledge about the issues. And sometimes mediators will make some suggestions based upon their experience. Again, usually an attorney, based upon their experience in this area. You know, well, we've been doing this a long time. John and I have been doing this 18 years. So we've pretty much seen everything. And while you may think that your problems are really unique and your divorce is really unique, and it is for you because it's your life, most of the issues, if not all of them, that you're going to encounter in your divorce, we've seen it before. We've seen it in another divorce before. I mean, most legal issues that pop up in a divorce, we've seen them before, okay? So it's not unique. So we know how to make suggestions, you know, how to address certain issues. You know, if a big one is the house, what do we do with the house? I know even amicable people will call me and say, well, how do we do this? What are we supposed to do with the house? So we'll give them some guidance, what to do with the house. You know, does something have to be refinanced? Is someone going to stay on the mortgage for a while? We really point things out to them that they didn't even think of themselves. And the reason is because this is not what they do for a living. It's you know, not something they do day in and day out for years and years and years. So that's really what you need, is you need someone who's been there, done that, knows all the things that you have to talk about, and makes sure that you address all those things so that you don't have problems later when there's something that you didn't talk about because you just didn't think of it, and then you have a problem later. So that's also partly what we do at NetSquire with our mediation services. And if you reach an agreement, then some mediators will draft the agreement. At NetSquire, we will draft the agreement. And then we encourage both parties to go and have separate attorneys that are just there to give them individual legal advice. Go to your own separate attorneys, have that person review it with you, and, you know, give you some independent legal advice. A lot of people choose not to do that. Again, we encourage it. It's not something that's absolutely required, and it's really up to you if you choose to do that or not. And then after that, that's the hardest part of any divorce, is reaching that settlement. So reaching a settlement on all issues, and then having something in writing that you both sign. That's really when a divorce is done, I'm putting that in finger quotes, because that's really the hard part. Once you have that done, the rest of it's a lot easier, because it's really just about having, again, we started this conversation with what a complaint really does. Then we like to file the complaint, because you're already done. You got the hard part done. Your agreement is done and it's signed. Because once you file a complaint, if you don't already have a signed settlement agreement, you have to do all kinds of what we call litigation. Basically, just a traditional litigated divorce. And it has to follow a certain path. The court will monitor things and make sure that it is following that path. So you, just to give you a few examples, you have to have a case management conference. You have to attend a parent education program course, and it's mandatory. You have to do it. And you'll have periodic case management conferences. Either you or more often just the attorneys have to do it. But there are things that you have to prep for. It's things that your attorneys have to prep for. That means they have to bill you for that. And some of these things, they just, your time and your money is better spent working on getting that settlement done, because that's really what's important. And that is what's going to enable you to be able to go to the courthouse and say, we're here, we want to get divorced today. So focus your attention on the settlement. That's really where the divorce work is. So what we do at NetSquire is once you have reached an agreement through mediation, we get that settlement agreement signed, and then we file all the papers with the court. And again, you know, it's a series of paperwork and it's kind of boring. I don't want to bore you with that here because you don't really need to know all of that right now. But once you file the complaint and then there's a few other things we have to file and, you know, there's a time frame and all that, it's really just a matter of waiting for the court to stamp a judgment of divorce, which deems you legally divorced. And, you know, even from the time that we get a signed settlement agreement and we file the complaint with that, these days, the courts are very slow. It's taking a very long time, several months, sometimes longer, just to get a judgment of divorce. And that's when you settled. So just imagine what it's like and how long it takes if you didn't settle by the time you file a complaint. I mean, some people, they're taking years. I don't know if you watch the news or read the newspaper. I don't think this is getting as much attention as it really should with the public. But there are some news articles in New Jersey, some publications that have talked about the judicial vacancy problem that we have in New Jersey, where last I checked, I think there were something like 69 judicial vacancies in New Jersey. And what that means is there's basically job openings for judges. We are short on judges, grossly short on judges in New Jersey. So the court is understaffed. They don't have enough judges. From what I hear on the street, they don't have enough staff, administrative support either. And everything is just moving so incredibly slowly. So that is yet another reason that I strongly discourage anybody from just running off to the courthouse and filing a complaint right away. There are some occasions where it does make sense to file a complaint, but they're really few and far between. I'll give you a couple of examples. John and I have talked about this before. So if you kind of scroll through, if you're watching this on Facebook, scroll through and watch some of our other live streams. We talk about it. And of course, you can always go back to our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts and listen to Divorce Happy Hour. So basically, the short explanation is if you have been married for close to 20 years, and you are the person that we call the breadwinner, which seems like an antiquated term. I feel like we need to find something, some other term for that. But if you're the one making more money, especially significantly more money than your spouse, you know, you're considered the breadwinner or the supporting spouse. And if you've been married for 20 years, by the time you file your complaint, then that lends itself to a situation where the dependent spouse, so the one receiving alimony, could ask for what's called open durational alimony. And that's basically what we used to call permanent alimony. And so it's basically long-term. So if you are the one that would be paying alimony under those circumstances, you'll want to make sure that you file a complaint before you reach that 20-year marriage mark. Okay, so that is one very important situation where we would tell you to go ahead and file a complaint and do it fast. Some other situations, when you file a complaint for divorce, that cuts off the marital estate. So what that means is when we talk about what has to be divided, we talk about what you all acquired together from the date of the marriage through the date of the complaint. So, you know, for average things like your bank accounts, maybe even pensions or 401ks, you know, unless you're amassing some huge amount of money, it's probably, I would suggest, a little more important to make an effort to try to resolve things outside of court than it is to run off and file a motion. I'm sorry, a complaint, for all the reasons that I've gone through. But there are some times where maybe someone's getting a big bonus, or maybe started a new job, they're getting a huge signing bonus, or maybe, and this happens fairly often, or their bonus structure is such that they get incentives. It might be called bonuses, but they're really incentives to keep the person to stay on longer. If it's something that's considered to be keeping you on longer, like an incentive to stay, then we sort of think of that as money that you're earning, but it's for the future. So that is something that we might file a complaint for so that you get to keep that. And again, I'm trying to make this not so complicated. I'm not sure if I'm doing a great job of that. If someone is about to get an award of stock options or restricted stock units or something of that nature, and they want to make sure that they get to keep that. Again, I'm simplifying this very much because there are some exceptions, but these are just a few examples of when it might be prudent to file a complaint. But I suspect anybody who has those issues is probably not filing a complaint on their own. They probably are going to get an attorney to help them with that, and they will have had some legal counsel to decide whether it really is a prudent or appropriate to file a complaint or not. So if you have any question about any of that, and you want to protect stock or just assets, or any other reason that you can think of that you're concerned that you may need to file a complaint, consult with an attorney, right? I started this out with telling you to get an attorney to do a consultation for you. That's why. There's things like this that you want to know so that you don't make those mistakes, but you don't necessarily have to hire them right away. You can go and try mediation and have discussions with your spouse to try to save some money. So I hope that this was helpful. I hope that if you got nothing else out of this, at least you understand that if you're thinking about divorce, if you're talking about divorce, that starting something with the court is not necessarily what you need to do at this point. Educate yourself, consult with an attorney, and figure out what is the best way for you to move forward to protect yourself, but also to not have some big, long, drawn-out divorce and waste thousands of dollars if you don't actually need to. If you need help, we can help you at NetSquire. We do provide some litigation services, but we really like to help amicable couples. We like to help people that are committed to what I like to say, not having their divorce be a shit show. So if that sounds like something that appeals to you, please feel free to look us up. You can find us on social media at Get Happy Divorce. You can also find us online at gethappydivorce.com. And we're happy to help you and see if we are a good fit and get this done. All right, people, have a wonderful weekend. Happy Friday. And join us next week, every Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on our Facebook page, the Divorce Happy Hour podcast. And if there is a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to DM us and let us know what that is, and we will figure it out. And I see John's legal emergency must have at least taken a little break because he agrees with me. Don't let your divorce be a shit show. All right, kids, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.